Hi, everybody. It's May 22nd, 2017. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. Monday, we got the whole rest of the week to work, and then it's Memorial Day. All is well. Okay, so everybody's going to have a nice weekend next weekend. I hope you had a good one this past weekend. We've got an NASSP show, National Association, I can say that fast, of Secondary School Principals coming up right now with Brad Curry, who is the 2017 Assistant Principal of the Year. Congratulations, Brad. We're going to bring you on in just a second. He's big in ed tech. He just wrote a book. We're going to talk about all this sort of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can see what made him the Assistant Principal of the Year. Really, really, really good stuff, which we're going to archive over at our website, education-talkradio.org, and that's where our full schedule is located, and also a link over to Education in America, which is our podcast for parents and community. I know that Brad has done a lot of work with community stakeholders, so it'll be interesting to hear his point of view on that. That's the educationamericapodcast.com. EducationAmericaPodcast.com. We already sent out a link on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio, and I hope you follow us over there. We'll send you the direct link to every show before and after we do it, so it's easier to listen and have a good time with us. Without further ado, today's show is presented by my good friends over at NCTQ, the National Council for Teacher Quality, and to me, they are a very important group, and I wanted them to sponsor this show, okay, for a couple of reasons. They have some wonderful stuff on there, and they have wonderful stuff for principals. And I'm going to do a show with them on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or Tuesday? Let me look here. I think it's hold on. Let me look. Now that I've said that, I'll get the exact date. Not today. Got to go back to today here. Let's see what's going on. Here we go. Okay. I'll get it. Give me a minute here, Mary. It'll be tomorrow at noon. Okay, I thought it was Wednesday. I had to double check that. Tomorrow at noon, Tuesday the 23rd. And we're going to do a show on their new report on preparing secondary school teachers and how the ed schools are doing with that, what's missing, what isn't. This is important for principals to know. Okay, and also because of the community aspect, they have a whole report on pensions as well. So hold on, let me cough. It's this damn allergy I have. Okay, so please check it all out at the National Council on Teacher Quality. They are a great group, and they'll be on tomorrow at noon, nctq.org. Okay, without further ado, let me, in between coughing and looking updates, let me bring on Brad. Hi, Brad. It's Larry.
How you doing, Larry?
I'm pretty good, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be on your program this morning.
Yeah, I didn't mean congratulations on being on my program. You are welcome here anytime, okay? Yeah, but you're the Assistant Principal of the Year from NASSP. How long have you been an Assistant Principal?
I've been an Assistant Principal for approximately 8 years now.
Do you like it? I think you do.
Absolutely. Every day is, I wake up excited to come to work and, help kids and help staff each and every day. And it really is an honor to, be an assistant principal, particularly here at Black River Middle School in Chester, New Jersey.
Right. And by the way, Chester, New Jersey, for those of you who don't know, it is a very beautiful area of the state. It's all hilly and all that sort of thing. Right. I've been there. Beautiful.
Absolutely. We have our school is on the top of a kind of a mountain overlooking the valley, and it's just a beautiful sight with the sun rising in the morning, and the people here are outstanding.
I'll bet they are, and I know you're involved with the community and all your teachers and all that. I want to do a little bit of homework before we get into the actual interview. You just wrote a book, am I right? You just wrote a book?
Yeah, Hacking Google for Education was just released on Amazon through Mark Barnes and his publishing company, Hacklery.
That's so odd you would mention that, because I just heard from Mark yesterday. He's probably going to call me today, and we're going to set up some shows.
Yeah, Mark's a great guy, and
he is.
Myself, Billy Krakauer, and Scott Rocco wrote this book for classrooms, schools, and districts on how to successfully integrate Google Apps into their daily lives.
Okay, cool. Congratulations on that. And that's available. Say the name again.
Hacking Google for Education, available on Amazon.
By Brad Curry, who's the NASSP Assistant Principal of the Year. And also, I want to make native a couple of things. You're going to be, I would bet you have a role, you're going to be speaking or something at the National Principals Conference, which is coming up July 9th through the 12th, the 12th being my birthday. You can think of me, excuse me, this allergy on that date. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I'll be 29. It's a long-term anniversary of my 29th birthday. Okay. And that's going to be in Philly. What are you going to do there?
I'm going to, the first thing I'm going to do is, connect with all my friends that I know in the virtual world, and over the years have connected with them in the physical world to, just to continue to enhance my effectiveness as an educator, but also to, present a few sessions on technology, on social media, and the role both those play, particularly with school and district leaders. So I'm really looking forward to that in July down in Philadelphia. I'm a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, so it's always great to go down to Philly and enjoy the culture and enjoy the vibe down there.
I'm from Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in Maine now, so I'm a Patriots fan now. But yeah. The only time I don't root root for the Eagles is when they're playing the Patriots. Otherwise,
there
I hope they do well every time. But you seem awfully friendly for a Eagles fan.
I can be. It's the off season, so. Talk to me during the season and see how friendly I am.
Well said. Well said. And one other thing that you've done, just turned 5 years old, is hashtag SatChat, which you are the co-founder of. What is that?
SatChat was developed 5 years ago with Scott Rocco and Billy Krakauer. We felt there was a need for a Twitter chat for educators to kind of connect and share ideas and resources in the virtual world. And so every Saturday morning at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, educators from around the world will come on to Twitter and participate in a discussion using the hashtag SatChat. So every tweet they tweet out, they include the hashtag SatChat, and they'll be a part of the conversation. And every week it's a different topic. It could be leadership, it could be technology, curriculum. And we just share ideas and resources through tweets. And once the hour is over, people continue using the hashtag for other reasons, related to education. But for that hour, we're discussing a topic. And 5 years ago, we had 25 or 30 people participate. And now, any given Saturday, there's 400 to 500 people coming on for that hour and just sharing. And everybody gets to learn from each other. It's a great thing.
It is. It's amazing. And why do you call it SatChat? Oh, Saturday. I just figured that out.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yep. People think it's SATs, but it has nothing to do with
that's
the
what
SATs.
I thought it was. I was going to ask you that. Okay, that's exactly what I thought it was. It's Saturday. Thank you for explaining that. It took me a few minutes to pick up on it.
Not a problem.
Yeah, so this is cool. So the book's coming out, the SatChat, and you're going to be speaking or whatever over at the National Principals Conference, which, by the way, is a joint conference between NAESP and NASSP. Okay, it's really pretty cool. So I hope everybody gets down to Philly, which you will get down to, and enjoy a steak sandwich and go to the Reading Terminal and all that sort of thing. I don't have to tell you what to do in Philly, even though you're from Chester, New Jersey. Okay, it's all good. You're from NASSP, not President Trump. You're now the ambassador of the assistant principalship. Do you know you have that title, Brad?
No, I did not. So,
King
Muzzle Top,
you have
hearing
it.
Of that. But yes, thank you.
This is it. This is it. And you'll get an embassy and you can drive into New York on diplomatic plates. It's really very interesting.
That's
to park wherever you want.
Perks are unbelievable.
Okay. In all seriousness, as you As you talk to your fellow assistant principals, and some of them over the years have probably become principals as well, okay? You want to talk about the role of the assistant principal. Now, when I was in school, it was discipline, as far as I knew. That's the only time you saw the assistant principal. Things have changed, okay? And you're at middle school. I taught middle school for years. What's a typical day look like? What are you responsible for?
A typical day is, fortunately for me, not a lot of discipline. We have great kids here. Every once in a while, we'll have to sit down and work with some kids. But overall, they're tremendous. You know, a lot of my day, since we're in a small school, a small district, I'm doing all kinds of things. So, you know, starting in the morning, I'll get here bright and early, and I will push out some digital announcements and turn on the TVs in our hallways and push out digital content onto our screens for students and staff to stay informed. And then as, you know, people start to come in, you know, work with the substitute teachers to make sure they know where they're going.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then, and then, you know, make sure everybody's where they need to be and walk in the halls. And, you know, one of the things I enjoy most is getting into classrooms and telling our school story through our Black River Middle School Twitter handle. You can find us at Black River MS. And that's how we engage with stakeholders. And so I will tweet out images of students learning and teachers teaching and great events going on. For example, just before I got on this interview, down in our cafeteria, we have a Holocaust survivor speaking to our seventh grade students. This Holocaust survivor is 94 years old, and you know, it's great for the students to hear his insight, and we're recording it, and we'll have it archived, and that's something that, you know, obviously that's very special. I tweeted that out, and also post to our Facebook feed. So throughout the day, you'll see me do that. We'll get into classrooms, observe teachers, you know, lunch duty, recess duty. and you know, that sort of thing, you know, and just, you know, working with everybody, helping them out with tech and non-tech issues. And it's just, it's a great day. It's always busy, and we're always doing unbelievable things to help kids out.
In what context is the Holocaust survivor there? Is it from a social studies teacher?
Well, one of our students in seventh grade, his parents somehow had a connection with a Holocaust survivor in New York City, close friends or of some sort. And one of our teachers, Joe Pizzo, was speaking with our student, and they got together and decided it would be a good idea to have this gentleman come in and speak with our seventh grade. And this has been, you know, a couple months in planning, and here we are today, and it's a wonderful opportunity.
It really is.
For students to gain historical perspective on an event, an unfortunate event, but you know,
nevertheless. Right, yeah. to say the least. And what's interesting, of course, that's wonderful that you're doing that, but you're talking about a 94-year-old man, and gradually there aren't going to be many Holocaust survivors left, and it's so important to get that oral history into the kids' heads. And that's excellent that you're doing that. And you just mentioned something else, which I think I've done over 3,000 shows here on Education Talk Radio. No one has ever mentioned to me that they – put stuff on the TVs in the halls. What's going on with that? That's pretty cool.
I just enjoy that. You know, technology is something I've always.
Yeah, but what kind of TVs? What's doing with that? That's cool.
They're flat panel TVs. They're smart TVs that are connected to my computer, and we have digital signage software. Sometimes we use Chromecast. Sometimes we use digital signage software. And it remotely pushes out content, like the weather, daily announcements, videos.
Wow.
And so we're able to push it out and keep people informed of things going on here in school. But we also have an app called Remind that we push out to parents. And so we also push out that same content through that app that they can get on their phones. And even with the Holocaust speaker today, I was down there setting up a device called a swivel, and it's like a robotic device that you plug your iPad into, and it records you. And so we're recording the Holocaust speaker through the swivel, and so we have that as an archive, and we can blast it out to our stakeholders on our different feeds that we have later on today. You know, so it's just something that's a part of my, you know, what I enjoy doing, my job as an assistant principal to make our school great. You know, I enjoy doing it.
I want to just give some credit here. Who's your principal?
My principal is Bob Mullen. He is a veteran educator, over 40 years as a teacher and administrator, and someone who's a Philadelphia Eagles fan and from Philly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe that's why, partially why I was hired 5 years ago. No, I'm just kidding. But, I've learned so much from him. Yeah, he is without a doubt the best educator I have ever worked with or worked for, and I've learned so much from him over the last 5 years, and he's made me a better person and a better educator.
That's a nice thing to say, and I think he's really obviously wonderfully pleased with the great work you're doing, and I think it's just great that that's happened, and I'm very impressed with the way you guys are involving the community, okay? And I talk to a lot of principals out there, and a lot of them do that. But to me, I'd have that other podcast, Education in America, and that's for the community. Why, Brad, let me ask you, have you always been that interested in getting the community involved? And when we say the community, are we just talking parents, or are we talking about the community as a whole, all the service clubs, the folks who don't have kids in school, et cetera? Just talk about what you've done with community and community stakeholders.
Yeah, community, involving the community is critical if you're going to have a successful school and district and be able to help every single child succeed. And so I take it from two approaches, the physical world, community engagement, and the virtual world. In terms of the physical world, you know, we have an unbelievable service club. We're always engaging with our community and our parents. The Holocaust speaker today is one example of that. We have an unbelievable Veterans Day assembly with local veterans who come in and speak with the kids. And, we have a wonderful PTO and wonderful Ed Foundation. The Ed Foundation is parents and community members that support our educational initiatives here through grants. And so a lot of the technology that we have here, a lot of the learning programs, curriculum programs that we have here are because of the PTO and because of our Ed Foundation. In the virtual world, we're always utilizing technology, whether it's social media or actual devices or websites and things, to involve the community. Through Google Hangouts and Mystery Skypes and just programs that are online there where, we have community members and parents that are involved in technology industry. They collaborate with us, whether it's through Google or through universities. They will collaborate with us in the physical and virtual worlds to do various projects with students. And it's just something that, we take great pride in. And one of the things I enjoy is giving credit to those folks through our Facebook and Twitter feeds. So anytime they're in here or collaborating with us, we'll give credit to them and engage them through Twitter and Facebook as well and give them credit and just tell them how appreciative we are of their efforts to help our kids gain further perspective and enhance their learning about a particular topic.
You're mentioning so many things involved in educational technology, I'll call it. You mentioned a ton of things already. Okay, are you in charge of technology at the school, so to speak, and all the new and innovative things that might come in through that?
We have a supervisor of technology in the district who is more on the, let's make sure all the technology works and that sort of thing. And he's very supportive, Mike Daugherty, very supportive, and has helped us, with the technology over the years. I'm more on the academic side of technology. And so we collaborate together, and then we also collaborate with our technology coaches here in the building and throughout the district. I'm also the supervisor of instruction for the entire district. Again, we're a small district with only three schools, approximately 1,100 students. Most of the time, though, my time is spent here at the middle school as the assistant principal. And so we're always working together to look at what we're doing with technology. How can we get better? How can we involve kids? We have actually a student roundtable that meets every once a month. And we always enjoy sitting down with them, myself and Principal Bob Mullen, and gaining their perspective on things we're doing well and things that we can improve on. And
great.
A lot of times technology does come up. And, what's working with our Chromebooks since we are a one-to-one environment, things they want to see, that sort of thing. So, we're very fortunate here.
Right. You are very fortunate. And it's a key thing. You know, I love the fact you're asking the customers, i.e. the kids. Okay. And the kids are expert. They're born to program remotes. Okay. They can do that almost as a fetus now, as you well know. Okay. When the kids look at the technology that you folks have installed in the school, what are they saying? In terms of
they're saying, yeah. So we're a one-to-one district. So that means every child, second grade through eighth grade, has a Chromebook that they can use in school, and then here in the middle school they can also bring them home. And so you look at digital workflow, and we're trying to create a paperless environment where students and teachers can collaborate in real time, either here in school or again at home when they're working on things. It's all about feedback, real time feedback. And so gone are the days where a student hands in a paper or a project, and then 6 weeks later they get feedback. We're providing feedback, whether it's through a Google Doc or a Google Slide presentation, or through an app called Flipgrid, which is a video conferencing app. And so we're always providing real time feedback, and students are creating. They can collaborate on a presentation in real time, whether they're in school or at home, through these different Google apps on their Chromebook. And so it's really helped students in so many ways, and teachers as well, to make learning easier, more efficient, but fun at the same time.
It really is, and I got to ask you this. You know, you said you're this. I think you called yourself the supervisor of instruction for the district. Was that the title you gave?
Yes.
Supervisor of instruction. Okay. And now there's all this technology and new stuff coming in all the time, different Google apps, all this kind of thing. All right. Talk to me, and I have this feeling you were responsible for this. Talk to me about the professional development, the professional learning that you, okay, or whoever, ran to make sure that the teachers were on top of this as all these new things come in. Because if we don't do that, there's no point in it. So just talk about the PD some part of it and how you were involved.
Yeah, when I was first hired 5 years ago, it was basically, I was hired because of my expertise in social media and technology. And so I would, personally, go into the schools and the classrooms before, during, and after school and hold sessions on different websites and apps and devices and how you can integrate them to make learning more relevant and engaging. And then over time, we got creative and we found a way to bring on tech coaches to support the teachers in our buildings. And so we collaborate together, the tech coaches and I. We have four of them, Millie, Francesca, Laura, and Trish, and we're able to work with the teachers, teach side by side with them, so they become more comfortable with integrating technology. And so now they are holding workshops and sessions before, during, and after school with our staff members, so that they are more comfortable with integrating technology. And they also do a great job of collaborating with the students. To again get their feedback and also to help, because students are sometimes an untapped resource, and so we want students to help
without question
with technology issues and giving us feedback on different devices. And that, in fact, we're getting new Chromebooks next year for part of our student body, and we did a pilot with six different types of Chromebooks, and we had students try them out for a week, and then they filled out a Google form with feedback. And that's guiding our decision making as it relates to the new Chromebooks that we're going to. So that's the sort of thing that that I support and I'm a part of on a daily basis. And I don't claim to know everything, but we do want to always find ways to get better. And you only can get better by gaining feedback, not only from your teachers, but your students and your parents and community members.
I love the way you're listening to the students and getting them so involved in the things that, believe me, when I was in school, I was never involved in. I think that's really cool. I know the school, Bob Frace over at NASSP told me the school has good maker spaces too. Are you helping there as assistant
principal? Absolutely. Absolutely. So we, you know, 2 years ago we didn't have a makerspace in our building, but I knew of others
really?
That had makerspaces throughout the state. Yeah, particularly.
I'm glad your school is so cutting edge. I'm surprised. I'm surprised at that. Wow, that's interesting.
It's fairly
you
new.
Got them
the makerspace,
yeah.
Makerspace
wow.
movement is fairly new, and so you know, I know Laura Fleming up at New Milford High School. Is a media specialist, and she has an unbelievable makerspace there. I knew her through Eric Scheninger, and so we connected online.
Oh, yeah,
online.
Everybody knows Eric. His name was
mentioned.
I know. Eric's going down to Louisiana to speak at the Louisiana Computer Using Educators Conference this week or next week or whenever it is. He was just
absolutely.
Mentioned.
You know, Eric's,
yeah, great
Eric's
guy.
The main reason why I am – one of the main reasons why I am where I am now. Because I went to a session of his back in 2011. I just happened to stumble upon it at a conference on social media, and he just changed my whole viewpoint on social
wow.
media and technology, and so here I am now. But anyway, you know, I picked Laura's brain. That's a great thing about being on Twitter and being a connected educator. You can go to people throughout the country and the world and pick their brain. So I picked her brain about makerspaces, and like, you know what, we can do this. So I kind of sat down with our media specialist Janet Aronson and said, "Hey, this is something we can." And she went to some workshops, and got really excited, and then said, "We can do this on a small scale, and then over time build it out." And so, we have our sixth graders right now involved in a makerspace during lunch. That's only one of the times we can do it right now. And the kids come in, and they just build without any grades, no stress.
Yeah.
They just build and they program. Students are, designing things on a 3D printer and printing it out. They are building marshmallow shooters out of PVC pipe. They're building things out of cardboard. We have 3D pens, and they're designing things with 3D pen. And it's just cool stuff. And it's
cool
getting
stuff.
Kids to think, to collaborate in a stress-free environment.
Oh, that is just what it's just wonderful. You know, I do a lot of shows with the National School Public Relations Association, which is a darn good organization. And you were talking about how you really understand social media and tweeting. And we were talking about how you go out after the community and all that, all of which I think is wonderful. How do you message all that so that it's coordinated through the district? In other words, you don't want this district doesn't want somebody sending out the wrong message. Okay. And I'm just curious, as you speak to the community and use all the technology you're talking about for communication, how is the messaging done?
Yeah. So we really believe in differentiating our message, meaning that, the message needs to be heard or seen, not only in the physical world, but also in the digital world. So whether it's through
right.
your Facebook feed or Twitter feed, YouTube, the Remind app, just a basic blog or a Google Doc, we want that same message to get out through different outlets. And so there are different ways behind the scenes on the program. So where, I can just, one message can the same message can go out on different platforms. We have a district and school app. We have a wonderful website, so we're continually utilizing all those different resources to push the message out because, just like learners, your stakeholders are all different and the way they receive their information is different. And schools need to understand that and meet stakeholders where they are. Many of them are on their devices and they want to be able to open up an app and be able to see, that's what's going on. And as a parent myself, having a child in Sydney who's in kindergarten and my son Cooper who's in fifth grade, their school district and schools do a great job of communicating digitally. And I'm able to stay current. And when we get home and eat dinner at the dinner table and I'm asking my son or daughter how's school, their answer is not good. Typically that's what the answer is. But now I'm armed with information, and I can
right.
extend that conversation. I want to do the same thing for our parents, here in Chester, give them information so that they can say, hey, I saw you do this in math class, or I saw you do this in science class. It was posted on the Twitter. I want to
wow.
extend the conversation and do it in different ways, and I take pride in that,
Well, you should take pride in it. Let me ask you, you talk to a lot of people, and I know a lot of the people you talk to are very well connected to social media with other educators, PLNs, et cetera. When you go to the conference in Philly, all right, are you surprised when principals and assistant principals, both elementary and secondary, aren't connected, that they're kind of still doing it the old way and kind of being independent in their school? What's your attitude towards that?
My attitude is, yes, sometimes people, they just don't know what they don't know. And that was me 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, did I hear of Twitter? Yeah, I did. But did I realize that people were using it in the schools and in the classrooms? I really didn't, you know. And now fast forward 5 years, you know, it's 6 years. It's a lot different now, just because I think technology and social media has evolved, and that's where people are really getting their information now. 5 years ago, that wasn't the case quite yet. But now, you know, it's everywhere. I mean, you can't, you know, you turn to Instagram or Snapchat or what, you know, people are always posting things and, you know, the presidency and that kind of thing. But, you know, people don't know what they don't know. And so, you know, my whole thing is that, you know, everybody has to share something. You know, gone are the days where everybody stays in their classroom or stays in their school and doesn't share anything. We need to help each other out. Whether it's a small idea or something on a much larger scale, we need to share out the great things that we're doing to help kids and to help our teachers. And I really believe every single educator, whether they're a district, classroom, or school educator, you know, they have something great to share. And whether it's through Pinterest or Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or blogging, I think people need to be sharing what they're doing, because the more we share, it ultimately will trickle down to the students and help them out. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to help kids.
And one last question. I got to ask you this. You're a terrific assistant principal. Obviously, you're the assistant principal of the year for this year. How do you define the assistant principal's role, Brad, versus the principal's role?
My role, or any assistant principal's role, is to enhance the environment here in our buildings. All right, enhance the environment. What can we do to help kids? What can we do to help teachers help kids? And, you know, it comes down to, you know, having that open door policy, being out there, being present, teachers knowing that you have their back, kids knowing that you have their back, but also at the same time, you know, holding yourself accountable and holding others accountable, and not settling for status quo. Status quo is never an option. We always need to get better, and we can do that with and without technology. It comes down to, you know, relationships. And understanding people, understanding where they need to be in the future, and working together to achieve goals. And that's every day. You know, I wake up excited to come to work.
Nice.
And to you know, how can I help you out? Is the bottom line. And that's what I enjoy doing: helping people out, supporting people, connecting people with other people, so that
and
they can learn from each other.
Forward.
You know,
constantly moving the school forward, and by doing that, you're moving the community forward. It's that simple.
You got that right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. Well, good luck in Philly. You're going to have a blast. Good luck with the book, and tell your buddy Mark Barnes. I sent him an email yesterday. I hope he calls me today. He's supposed to.
You got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
All right.
Really,
you're welcome,
it.
Brad. It's great. Congratulations to you, man. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Doing a
Thank
good job.
Much.
I really like that. You know, I just got to say, look at the kind of educator you are, and I'm sure the kind of educators you work with, your principal. People take the time to bash public schools. They bash teachers all the time. Yet look at what you're doing. Okay? It's just, you're just a shining example of a lot of great examples, you know? Congratulations, man.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Brad. Bye, Brad. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's Brad Curry. Brad is over at Black River Middle School in Chester, New Jersey, a little bit upstate there, beautiful part of the state. He's the 2017 National Association of Secondary School Principals, National Assistant Principal of the Year. Congratulations. Mazel tov. Congratulations on that. And an Eagles fan, which I accept. because I grew up in Philadelphia. I do accept that. Okay, so we all like Brad for so many reasons, and he is the tech guru of the school. And I thought that was interesting about that meeting with Eric Scheninger, and what just shows how good Eric is, but how we can make these changes and make all this stuff happen, and the messaging to the community, incredible. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We will tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. All right. Big thanks to Bob Ferres over at the NASSP for helping me set up the show. My name is Larry Jacobs. And by the way, I also check out nctq.org. They have great stuff on there. And that teacher prep thing, which I'm doing a show tomorrow at noon with Rob over there, Rob Rickenbrode, is so key as principals hire teachers. Okay, you want to know how they were trained, etc. So it's really good stuff. You'll check it out. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.